Welcome to Sideshow on 2RPH. This is Anthea Williams. Today I'm joined by the Strange Ways Ensemble. Strange Ways is Mirragong's permanent company of neurodiverse actors and musicians and Wollongong's only professional theatre ensemble. Today I'm joined by two of their members, Ethan Arnold and Ethan Green, and director Anne-Louise Rentel, ahead of the premiere of their new show, The Seven, opening at the Wollongong Town Hall on the 21st of November. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be here.
It's great to be here, sir.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be here.
So before we get on to the show specifically, I would love to hear about your ensemble. I know you've been making work for many years and a lot of that work is toured. Can you tell me a little bit about how the ensemble operates?
So how we operate, we meet up usually once a week.
Yeah. It's on Friday.
Friday afternoons. We work together. We discuss whatever projects we're going to do together. Once we have a idea everyone agrees with, we begin development, then production.
And do you generally work with devising or improvisation? How does it work?
The first thing is the improvisation. Then we do all sorts of like the games and some more improvisation, and then they transform it to a script also.
Fantastic. And about how long does it take to create a show?
It can vary. Usually it's about 3 years, apart from this one. This one took about 2 years to make.
Fantastic. And Anne-Louise, you're the director of the ensemble. How long have you been AD?
Pretty much from the beginning. So the ensemble sort of has evolved out of the relationship we had with a local disability service provider, the Disability Trust. So years ago, I'm talking 2008, we started doing some mixed abilities workshops, and out of that came our first show, which is called The Man Who Drank the Stars, and that was in 2014. And that did very well, and we thought, oh, we want to keep doing that here at Mirragong. So we did another show where we did a call out for people to attend another workshop where it was all about writing songs, and there were songs on the theme of love. And then we thought, oh, we've got a show in this. So then we made another show called The Outside Man. And then it sort of felt like we'd sort of created an ensemble or a group of people who were really keen to keep working. So after that, we kind of went into, it became a thing at Mirragong. We were sort of going, we were going to make this work and we're going to commit to doing it every 3 years. And we were already starting to work on the next show, which was Trash Talk, which was all about working in an Australian disability enterprise. And it was all to do with the sort of wage case that happened back about 6 years ago. Where there was a whole lot of, I suppose, conflict around the wages that people had paid in the 80s.
Mm.
So we did a show about that. But before that, we sort of became the ensemble, really. We decided with Mirragong's support to sort of identify ourselves as our own thing. That's how that manifested anyway. And then we went on to do our second work, which was something that happened, which was about auditioning for roles as a person with a disability and what it's like to do that and what comes up in that situation. And also in that time, we've also made Strange Ways Cabaret, which is an opportunity for the guys to, realise some of their own ideas in a small way, so like a place to develop small works. And then at the end of something that happened, I said to the group, what do you want to do next? Because we made these two works in particular that were very, disability focused or foregrounded. And I think the consensus was that, not to say that disability wasn't going to be part of the show, but it wasn't going to be as foregrounded. But there was a general consensus that they wanted to do something more, dark or challenging in that way. And so that's where we started for this new one, which is The Seven.
And can I ask, how many people are in the ensemble?
It's seven of us.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big ensemble.
Yeah.
And Ethan Arnold, how long have you been in the ensemble now?
About 8 years.
Wow. And what about you, Ethan Green? How long have you been in it?
I don't even know.
Probably about the same, I think, Ethan.
Yeah, probably this time, yeah.
Ethan Green was in The Outside Man before we became the ensemble, and Ethan Arnold was involved in The Outside Man as a writer. And then
the same, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So it was a similar time.
A similar time.
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting that you're the only professional ensemble in Wollongong that has been working together for this amount of time. It's so special when actors work together for such a period of time because it means that you have such a shared understanding of theatre language. So I'm sure that that creates some really amazing work. When you're not working on shows, what are you doing on your Fridays? Are you doing skill development or is always it about storytelling and where the next show is coming from?
It's kind of mixed with the storytelling and more improvised fashion.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, sometimes have guest tutors as well. So there's a bit of skills development, bit of this one because we knew it was going to be earlier. Basically, as we said, it's like every 3 years, but we wanted to make a work that was site responsive to the town hall here.
Mm-hmm.
We were planning for it to be next year, but then council wants to redo the air conditioning in the town hall. So we had to move the show to this year. So it was like, oh my God, we've got only 2 years to make this show. But like you say, Anthea, I think the fact that we've worked together for so long now, it's really meant this process just felt like a really strong continuation of things that we've done before. So,
yeah. So I know a lot of our listeners won't know what The Seven is about. Can you explain a little bit about this story?
Well, I think the story is about it's like all seven people going missing and they solving the case, who's causing it. It's more like conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of vibe into it.
The story is about a cold case, a group of seven people who went to a concert in Sydney in 1964, never made it home, and they found out they got off at Helensburgh train station, which is where the old Helensburgh tunnel is located. And it's kind of like two storylines going together. The first story is set in 1964 with the original investigation. And the second timeline is 2024, where a discovery is made at the tunnel which has reopened the case, and it brings about a lot of things. It also explores the themes of conspiracy theories, like Greeny just mentioned, and what was going on in the 60s with neurodivergent people. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a word back then. It pretty much brings about a lot of things. It just shines a light on a lot of things.
Can I jump in and say too, Ethan, that we've got themes on, like, I suppose basically it's about the unknown and how we fill the space of the unknown with theories. So, like, there's conspiracy theories, as the guys have already mentioned. There's a ghost, like, paranormal theory. And there's a kind of, the story from 1964 where there's a police officer who's kept a diary of events. So we've got these different perspectives on what might have happened. So I suppose people will have to come to see the show to see if we find out what happened.
And you said that there was a desire in the ensemble to not do a show that was necessarily so focused on disability issues. So how did you come across this idea of doing a show about a mystery and a cold case?
At the start, when Anne Louise asked, what do you guys want to do? And we discussed it, like a lot of the guys brought up horror, mystery, and someone brought up this case from America called the Yuba County Five, which was five people who went to a basketball game in one county and they never made it home. And the five were either neurodivergent or had mental health issues. Apparently, four were found not alive, unfortunately. The fifth member has never been discovered. I guess we thought about exploring that while...
While making the show.
Yeah. Because there's a time where we said, let's play... I don't know if I could say this. Because the cast doesn't exactly play neurodivergent characters. It's kind of the other way around. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me, because so often in the past we've had people who aren't neurodivergent playing neurodivergent characters, so I think it's about time. And is it true, did that happen where they went back into the tunnel and they found some more evidence, or is that a fiction that the show that you've created for the show?
It's fictional. I did hear that some people believe that this is a true story. It's not. It's completely fiction. We did use the Helensburgh Tunnel because there's reports about it being haunted by a ghost from over 100 years now, longer than that. And we did hear stories about glowworms being in the tunnel. So they play a part in the story. I can't exactly say how. You've got to come and see the show to find out, folks.
It sounds really beautiful. I'm sure you've done something amazing and theatrical with those glowworms. You say on your website, we explore universal themes from a unique perspective and aim to find the fantastical in the mundane, which I think is so really beautiful. Can you talk a little bit to the unique perspective that you bring to this story of mystery and horror?
Spectacle. I don't know if I have the answer for that exactly.
Do you want to maybe have a go at that one, Anne-Louise?
Yeah, I think as I suppose the person who is corralling all the ideas and then sort of workshopping what the material the ensemble give me into. So it's a bit of an iterative process, really. There's lots of ideas, and we start exploring, improvising, doing different things, and then what could this story be? I suppose for me, the unique perspective is it just starts with the idea in the first place. And I think you responded to this earlier, Anthea, where I feel in the previous two shows, the unique perspective has been very much like I'm a person with a disability who works at an Australian disability enterprise. This is what I feel about the wage case, and this is what I feel about working in a place like this. And then we kind of made that heightened by intersecting it with this sort of, we had the mundane world of the workplace, and then out of that world came WWE kind of fighting kind of thing, which was the fun part of it, and it's sort of treating it like a power battle, I suppose, a bit of a David and Goliath thing. And something that happened similarly, we took the idea of dreams. So like the dream of being an actor or being famous, and then we sort of said, what if there was an ad for some, like a global film company is casting a new production of Mice and Men. And so then we started this idea, which we've kind of taken into this show, where there's someone in our cast who could play Lenny quite easily.
Mm.
And it was like everyone else went, well, I don't want to play Lenny. I want to play Curly, or I want to be Curly's wife, or what if I could be any of these characters, or if I didn't want to audition for that at all. So we're sort of looking at that as kind of, again, from the place of disability. Whereas this one, it's sort of the seven who go missing, to sort of riff on the Yuba County Five story, referred to as people with a disability. But then the characters that everyone plays, like Ethan mentioned, isn't a person with a disability. So I think there's something kind of, I mean, it's a bold is to say radical in that, but that it's a kind of perspectives through that lens rather than through, always through a disability lens of I want to play that role. So then how does an actor who is perceived to have a disability just play a character that doesn't identify as having a disability? So that for me is where this show is interesting, because or not, because it, in the sense of like it shouldn't be an issue in a way.
Yeah absolutely. And I know that often your ensemble works with music. Is there music in The Seven as well?
It's more like a spooky music, and it's like kind of like if it's like a character who is like the truth Tokotani, it's like playful kind of fun.
Yeah, we have a character called Truth Talking Tony, played by Malcolm, one of the ensemble members, and he's our conspiracy theorist. Mm. And he actually has the one song in the show.
Yeah.
He's got a jingle that he sings. He's got two songs, actually. It's the jingle for his podcast and his ad, his sponsor ad. So we have that. But, yeah, I mean, what's been really great with this is that we have a sort of team of creatives that work with us a lot. So Darryl Wallace has worked with us pretty much since the very beginning, like myself, has been at the beginning of sort of forming this practice here at Maribong. And he's our musical director, and on this one, our sound designer. So he's worked with us on everything. And for our last, four shows now, Katya Hunt, as our production designer, has been working with us on all those shows. But someone who's new to working with us is Emma Saunders, who is an incredible choreographer, dancer. She's our movement designer. And so Greeny has, even though there's not a song for Greeny this time, he's actually doing a kind of dance, aren't you? There's a lot of movement in the show that's kind of not necessarily dance, but the movement's been thought about, how we're moving in the space. Because it's quite a big space to fill as well, the town hall. So that's been quite a challenge, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I've worked with Emma Saunders. She's absolutely amazing.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
And so fun. And just, that must be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, have a great time with Emma on a Tuesday.
So you're opening in a couple of weeks. I'm assuming you're working more than on Fridays at the moment. What part of production are you at now?
Pretty much rehearsals. Trying to just make, mostly rehearsals. We've been rehearsing some scenes all day. Just working out how the scene works, how everyone is portrayed.
Yeah, so we're in full-time rehearsals now, so we're
pretty much full-time.
Yeah. So starting last week, we've got a four-week full-time rehearsal period, which is really great to just get stuck in, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
Really.
And when do you move into the town hall?
We already did.
Oh, fantastic. So you're getting to rehearse in your space.
Yeah.
We've been very spoiled.
That's luxurious.
Yeah,
fantastic. And Louise, is there anything else you want to add in terms of what audiences should know about the show before they come along?
Well, I think it's, again, what I find so wonderful working with the ensemble is that each show is uniquely its own thing, and yet the ensemble stays the same.
Yeah.
So I feel like the imaginative space with which the ensemble works always provides audiences with a treat, like a real treat of something special and unique. Yeah, audiences always love the ensemble shows. And I think this one, again, is going to be different again. So it's going to confound expectations on all kinds of levels. But also now that we've got a bit of the following here, I think it will also confound expectations of the kind of work the ensemble makes, because it's different yet again, which I think is really powerful.
Yeah,
I love that you've changed form. I think that's so exciting to go, we're going to do a cold case, we're going to do a mystery.
Yeah.
And Ethan Arnold and Ethan Green, is there anything else you'd like audiences to know before they come and see the show?
I know I've been saying, well, not too much for my parents. I said, well, it's going to be good, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be big and great, and
epic. That's the word.
Epic. And what about you, Ethan Arnold? Is there something you'd like to add?
if you guys sorry, just trying to get my words right. This is going to be, I mean, you guys have probably heard we're doing something along the lines of horror and mystery. I assure you, this show is just, well, it's a different to all the other things we've done because we do different things all the time. I still feel we've got that, this same core in it. So I'm pretty sure you won't be surprised.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And I hope your season goes really, really well.
Thank you.
The Seven is playing at the Wollongong Town Hall from the 21st to the 29th of November. And there's a Q&A with the company on the 26th. I hope you can get along, and bookings can be made through mirrorgong.com.au. More information in the show notes. Welcome back to 2RPH with Sideshow. Liz Cooper, thanks for joining me again this month.
It's great to be back, Anthea. Thanks for having me.
So what are you seeing and not seeing this month?
What I am going to this month is Sydney's Inner West Inclusion Festival. It's centred around the International Day of People with Disability, and this festival is just growing every year. This is a free festival. It has events running from the 29th of November until the 14th of December, and it's created proudly by people with disability for the whole community to enjoy. And as I mentioned before, the entire program is free. There's film screenings, art exhibitions, talks, some creative workshops, which look very cool, and inclusive sport and recreation activities, including Hydro Disco Art Pool Party, run by artists Amy Claire Mills and Bedelia Lorenzev, who, as we know, are friends of the program, with the Powerhouse Midnight Feast crew for an access-led water aerobics dance and pool party, which sounds so fun. For all the information, go to the Inner West Council website. There's just so much to do, and I am going to many of these free events, and I think we might be going to one together, Anthea.
Please tell me that Amy is making her giant inflatables.
Yes, she is. She is. I'm really excited.
That's going to be so fun.
So, so fun.
And what is it that you're not getting to see?
What I'm not able to go to is the opening night and program launch of the Other Film Festival. Run by Arts Access Victoria and hosted by ACME in Melbourne, this event is on the 12th of November. It's both online and in person. I'm just not able to go to either. The Other Film Festival is a disability-led film festival, which is now in its 21st year, which I thought was very cool. Celebrating deaf and disabled screen work, the festival has a big focus on Australian short films, documentaries, and feature films. The opening night will be streaming, as I mentioned, online as well as in person, and they will be awarding the 2025 Stella Young Award on the night, which is really exciting. The Other Film Festival runs from the 12th of November until the 3rd of December, and it screens both in person in ACME's Cinema 3 and online Australia-wide. So while I'm not able to attend the launch night, either in person or online, I will certainly be watching a lot of the films online from that program. If you want more information, the Arts Access Victoria website has all the information you need.
I'll be sure to put all of that in the show notes. And I'm so pleased you've recommended an online event, because I know a lot of our listeners find it really difficult to get to in-person shows. And it's just so great to see some online access. Hey, thanks so much for joining me, Liz.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to next month.
To take us out, I have Queensland-based band and sibling trio Favourite Kid with Setback. Oh!
I had a setback. I must have had it too good in the position I had. Oh, it hurts bad. It's the waiting that I can't stand. You see, the harder I work and the more that I bleed keeps me moving to the place someday that I'd like to reach. And though I crest a few steps and had a moment to breathe. I'm gonna roll right up again, just like how I like my sleeves. Hi-ya-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya. I didn't give all I had just to make it this far. Hi-ya-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya. You see, just like that, I was back with my nose to the stove. I got a membership card, but it takes heart to be further than you were at the start. I had a setback, caught off track, whatever you wanna call it. Had a bunch of plans in places, not most of them will be pausing. No, it's happened before, the man I once was is gone. A bad decision's only bad if you don't learn what went wrong. To make it this far. Hi-ya-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya. You see, just like that, I was back with my nose to the store. Oh, oh, oh. A setback shows you what you used to be. And though the comfort zone is comforting, I won't be down here for long. Just gotta gather my thoughts. Once I see a chance, I'll take it. I'll be standing on top. Hi-ya-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya. I didn't give all I had just to make it this far. Hi-ya-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya. You see, just like that, I was back with my nose to the store. Your plans and places, not most of them.